Area Congressman Tim Walber, who spent at least a couple of days in our area over this past week. Busy week for you, Tim.
Busy week. August is, of course, the in-district work period every year. We come back home, and it gives us a chance to get back amongst the people that have sent us to Washington to represent them. And so we had opportunity to meet with bankers. We had a chance to see your wife in one of those situations. And as I mentioned, too, she supplied at Hinckley donuts to me, and I cannot... You know, I can be pretty strong and disciplined in certain ways, but when you put a donut like that in front of me, I have to at least try. But then, we're at Rotary Clubs, Gowanus Clubs. We did a number of town halls. I think we've done four or five town halls this month already, and we have another couple to go. And we're in Jackson a full day and half last week, and then Eaton County, Monroe County, senior fairs, veterans fairs. So it's been a good month, and then I got a chance to celebrate with my wife for a few days, our 45th wedding anniversary, and it's amazing that she's put up with me for those 45 years, and for better for worse, and never signed on for a career in Congress, but it is what it is. So, no, it's been a good time back in the district, and very profitable.
Breath of fresh air to get out of Washington, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just the humidity factor, to be back in pure Michigan, It's been wonderful, and August is a great time of year in Michigan, too. So it's hard to believe that it's almost finished. September's coming. Docks are being taken in. Boats are being taken off the lakes here in the Irish Hills, and people are wrapping it up for the summer. And football starts now, and all of that that goes on with the high school athletics and college athletics. So it's always good to be here in Michigan.
Yeah, it goes fast. Could we have a Labor Day surprise?
In what way?
With our labor bill?
Oh, with the USMCA?
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, because it is. It talks about there's been reports saying that it could add about 176,000 jobs in our manufacturing industry in the United States. Here in Michigan, it could have significant impact as well, as we deal with our nearest neighbor, a friend to the north, Canada, as well as Mexico to the south. Putting that type of deal together that arguably really puts America first. We're the biggest of the three trading partners, so it ought to be that way. And it's been negotiated well. The ag industry wants it, very strongly wants it. If you have a chance to say thank you to a farm worker or a farmer, thank them. They've been going through some significant challenges as a result of the trade wars that have been going on, especially with China. But they see that if we get the USMCA done, that will add significant help to them right now, with especially dairy. Dairy has been hurting for quite some time, and we need to see some help there with the manufacturing area. So it was good to see, Greg, the day we left for the August in-district period, 14 Democrats signed a letter to Speaker Pelosi asking for her to take up USMCA bill for passage as soon as possible when we come back in September. And I hope she will heed that, because if 14 Democrats sign it, we're not far from having the 218 votes necessary to pass that, because the Republicans will be on board with it. Our agriculture community, our manufacturing community wants it. The chambers want it. The big three, Toyota in my district as well, they want it. And what it does, I think, even more so than just set a great long-term trade policy to take the place of NAFTA in place, it also says to China, just look at this. The American continent is together on trade. Korea has already signed on a great trade deal with us months and months ago. Japan is talking very seriously about negotiating a better trade policy with us, which will be good. The G7 last week, it was clear seeing the president work with G7 countries trying to line them up to push back on China, to take some of our countries to go there instead of China, to remove the disincentives to our companies with China. All of that says to China, you are the outlier now. rest of the world has lined up together for good trade policy, and it's time that you step up to the plate. I think the fact that China announced this past week that they are not going to implement the tariffs that they were threatening for September, our president has not backed away from the threat of increasing the tariffs on China, and I think that's brought about this change. And I, for one, think I can't prove it, but I would surmise that the phone call that has been much talked about this past week, that the president indicated took place while he was at G7 from China, and some China negotiators said that they weren't aware of any call. I just bet the way this president has worked with President Xi over the course of the past 2 years, that the only one that called him was President Xi, and he didn't out him. But I think that's why we've seen them now back off from the threat, and negotiations that are being talked about and, in fact, are going on in various ways with China. So hopefully they'll find a way to save face, but in the end, find a way to stop the abusive trade policy that's been going on, where they've stolen our intellectual property, they've devaluated their currency, they have done cyber warfare with us and attacks, and put heavy taxes on our goods that we don't put on theirs.
Well, you better call Wall Street, right?
Yeah, we'll call Wall Street, but I'm not so much worried about Wall Street as I'm about doing the right thing for America. Wall Street will never be a patriotic organization, and I don't fault them for being in it for the money. That's what they are, and it's a good thing that we've seen the stock market, even though we've had some downturns here and upturns, it's been volatile, yet we're still higher, significantly higher than we were just a few years ago at the stock market level. So that's a long-term situation, and over time they'll go up, they'll go down, they'll have their successes. But what I want to see is the actual underlying policy that makes a great economy like we have right now. Historic economy in the sense of unemployment numbers. The unemployment numbers for various groups like African Americans, Asians, Hispanics, and even women being at historic lows. That means there are people in their own economies that are achieving and bringing home dollars. And the middle class, the most recent number shows that they've had the greatest impact in both the wage increase as well as the security of jobs. So we always have places to go, and we always can improve, but this is a good time in our history right now, and it's a good time to fight those wars like trade wars. While we're positive in China, their economy isn't going that way. They're having significant challenges.
Well, you met with some bankers here locally. What were their questions, Tim? What did they have to say?
Well, they're always concerned that we do the right thing with economics, that we make sure that tax policy is fair across the board for financial institutions. So there's always concerns expressed there. They're really wrestling with the marijuana issue now. There's growing numbers of dollars and cents that are coming out of marijuana sales and production. And I've made it no secret that I think Michigan did a bad thing to ourselves in passing the referendum that made recreational marijuana legal in this state. So you've got the problem now of where you put the money, since the federal laws are still against any shape or form legalizing marijuana. So there are significant punitive and criminal laws against banks taking any money in that comes from marijuana sales. I don't have any concern about the marijuana grower, for instance, not being able to deposit his or her money, or the trafficker. I'm not a friend. But when you have the little cleaning company, the man or woman that does the cleaning of the bathrooms there at that facility, or someone who clears the snow off of their parking lot in the wintertime, or does grass cutting, the real grass cutting around the facility, but they can't deposit their money received from that organization, and ultimately can't deposit any of their wages in a bank for fear that the federal regulator will come down and put heavy, heavy damages and claims against the bank is a concern. We have to find a way to address that, I guess, since states, 11 states now have made recreational marijuana legal and medical marijuana as well. So those are concerns that bankers have, not that they support marijuana, but they don't want to be, run afoul of the federal laws, and yet there are dollars out there. So that's an issue that you wouldn't think of in talking with bankers in the past at all, but those are the things we have to address. Beyond that, they're delighted with the economy. They're delighted with the fact that their shareholders are being remunerated good for the loans that are put out by the bank and the deposits that are made. So it's kind of a sign, like when you talk with the real estate industry. They have their thumb very clearly on the pulse of what's going on in the community, economically and otherwise.
So it's fair to say you're not growing any in Tipton?
Oh, I'm not. right now it's only soybeans growing on my property.
Okay.
And they were pretty well challenged, the crop, until we got some rain this past week. And looking out again this morning on the crop, it's at least not embarrassing anymore. And you know, that's something, as I've traveled through this district, which sits on the border of Indiana and Ohio, the further south you go, the more tragic is the view of the crops. Unless you have irrigation that's been going on the corn and soybeans, etc., it's not the normal, beautiful, beautiful crop vision that we're privileged to drive through in this agricultural area of the state. It's in some cases just clearly pathetic. So our farmers have a real challenge right now, and they're going to feel the hurt come harvest time when they don't have that level of harvest. But we appreciate the fact that a lot of them have used the crop insurance plan that we put in place that will assist and help not only the farmer but ultimately the consumer. Because the cost is spread of negative impact as well as positive impact. Mm-hmm. So
you head back next week?
Head back next week. It'll be interesting to see, you know, with the report coming out from the IG, the Justice Department, and specifically talking about former FBI Director Comey and how he abused his power, did things that were against policy as well as law in sharing classified information for his own personal benefit and own personal purposes. But there's still another report coming out from the IG looking at the FISA issues and the violations potentially on document put together, the dossier most specifically trying to show some collusion between Russia and the president and other things. So that will be a hot topic as we get back to Washington as well. And our president has been exonerated to a great extent by this, and Comey, he may be making a victory lap tour of one himself, but everybody looking on says, wow, how the great have fallen, seeing a guy that ultimately abused his power in office and did things that just he wouldn't have allowed his underlings to do in past days.
What do you think about the challengers coming forward in the Republican Party?
You know, I served with Walsh, Joe Walsh. He's a loose cannon.
Can I quote you on that?
Sure. I mean, okay. He only served one term. He couldn't hold his seat. He did that and couldn't hold it because he was a loose cannon and didn't always think what he said before he said it. And he's clearly, for some reason, very much disliked this president. His talk show has been canceled. It wasn't doing well anyway, and I think this is a way to trump up some PR for himself and maybe get another opportunity to have a talk show or what, I don't know. but he'll simply be a gnat on the wrist of the president that I don't think the president's going to worry about. Governor Weld very clearly has his concerns, if he really looks at it, of being considered as a conservative Republican at all. So I don't think they're going to get much purchase. And when you see the fact of the growth of the support within the party for this president, and his base has not gone away. It's in fact grown within the party because of not his personality, but his policy. His policy has worked. I don't see those challengers being any problem at all.
You wouldn't call him a loose cannon, would you?
Well, no, I don't know him. I think he's doing it because, I don't know why he's doing it. He thinks that any president needs an opponent, whether he's been put it up to it by the Democrats or by the moderates, I don't know. But very few people, if you asked if they knew the name of an opponent of Donald Trump in the Republican side of the aisle, could even come up with Governor Weld's name. And I think that says something. And we know this president knows how to draw a crowd, produce a rally, get the focal point on his campaign. And so if I were contemplating a run against the president, I certainly wouldn't think that I had much chance unless I was living in some other parallel world of reality.
Area Congressman Tim Walberg, good luck heading back, Tim.
Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you about what happens when we get back.
Yeah,
we'll see what develops.
Have a good weekend.
You too.